I was thinking about this week, and when I made the music list today, or Friday, I thought about this song. I must tell Jesus. And the third verse really gets you because it's, turn page 13 in that red book. 13. The third verse says, tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Sing that chorus with me. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. You realize He can help in your darkest moments and times, right? Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior. Don't you need one? Wasn't there a point in time when you needed somebody to save your soul from a burning hell? You know, the only comfort you get in life is with Jesus Christ. He's the only one that really truly give you peace. I mean, you might be able to find it here and there in different situations, but if you want to get true peace, you have to have Jesus Christ in your life. It says, one who can help my burdens to bear. And it goes on in the latter part of that verse, and it says, He all my cares and sorrows will share. He'll take every single one of them. You just have to give them to Him. Life is all about perspectives. You ever thought about it? You sit back and you think about your life and you think about what goes on in your life. It's all about how you want to look at it. Bad comes and things happen, and it's how you want to take it. You can go this way and it just gets worse and worse, or you can stay over here and you can just say, you know what, God's got a plan. There's a reason. You may not be able to see it, but He's always got a plan. It's about perspectives. You see, I read this the other day and it says, the story is told of two shoe salesmen who were sent to a remote island to determine the business potential of selling shoes on the island. The first salesman wired, "Coming home immediately, no one here wears shoes." The second man wired the message, "Send a boatload of shoes immediately. The possibilities for selling shoes here is unlimited." It's all about perspective, right? You see, you could get to the island and say, well, they don't wear them, so there's no point in trying to sell them. Or you can be the other side going, they don't wear them, they'll love this. This will be great. Perspective is a powerful force. Perspective affects the way that we think, act, and respond in a situation. We can look at a trial as either an insurmountable roadblock or an opportunity for God to show His power. I look back at Brother Rick back there. That's a pretty good one right there, ain't it? We could look at that as something horrible, or we could look at it as, well, God surely did something, didn't He? God delivered him from a really bad situation, didn't He? Financial difficulties can bring overwhelming pressure, or they can be a way to experience God's provision. A broken heart can lead us to despair, or can be the catalyst which makes our relationship with God stronger. A world dark with sin can cause us to hunker down in the safety of our churches, which is where we stay most of the time. Or it can drive us to work in fields ripe unto harvest. Everything we face, even the hard and possible painful things, can become opportunities for good to prevail. If we trust God and move forward in faith, it's all about perspectives. It's how you want to look at it. I think about the fact that Jesus Christ would come to this earth and die for me when I don't deserve it. And how easy it would be to just sit in this church and never really do anything. Never really give the gospel to anybody outside of who comes in these doors. And how much of a wasted Christian life that would be to not just share the gospel with more people. To not be a little bit accepting every once in a while when somebody comes in that's a little bit different from you. Knowing they may need something out of the Word of God. Every time that a situation comes up in your life, you're faced with a choice. The choice to see some good in it or the choice to see all of the bad in it. The choice to be able to say, I'm going to let God get the glory, or the choice to say, this just isn't worth it anymore. It's all about your perspective. How do you look at life? When a trial comes up in your life and you've had them, everybody's had one. How did you handle it? Did you get down and did you say this shouldn't have happened or this shouldn't be this way? Did you question God? Or did you say, He sure is good. Could have been that way. God's good all the time, right? You just say it or do you believe it? Because I would dare say that we've all experienced it. You've all experienced the goodness of God. You've witnessed God do something great in your life, even at the lowest point, how He's brought you out of those situations time and time and time again. I was thinking, Daddy's going through all this stuff, and you know, you get, your mind goes when you start looking at all these things that could happen. And you think about somebody like my dad. My dad has driven a truck for the same company for 35 years. He started the year that I was born. That's all my dad knows how to do. He can preach a little bit, but he knows how to drive a truck real well. That's all he's ever done for a living is drive a truck. And it's been good to the family and everything. I mean, it put us through school, and I appreciate the hard work that he's put in for us as a family. He didn't have to beat himself to death all those years, but he did so that we could have something. And no, we didn't have everything. We weren't handed a bunch of stuff, but he sure did take care of us. You know, there's some perspective there too. You grow up in a house and you sit back and think about the things you've got. And sometimes you get to that place where you're like, well, why do I have to drive the old truck? Why couldn't I get a newer one? And as a teenager, that's easy to get into that world, isn't it? Well, my friends got this and they've got that. And man, you ought to be thankful for what you do have. Because your mama and daddy's probably working their tail off to try to give you what you do have. They want you to see that, hey, hard work means something. Yeah, you may not have the designer stuff, but we're taking care of you. You got what you need. You got clothes on your back. You got a house to live in. You sit back and my dad, he's going through all this situation and I know how hard he's worked all these years. And when you sit back and the doctor tells you, hey, you got some rhythm problems in your heart, and if it goes this route, you will not have a CDL anymore. I'm going to tell you right now, that will scare somebody. My dad's not at the age that he can retire yet. He's close, but he's not there yet. And to think that he's going to lose the only job that he's ever really had. And you sit back and you go to the house and you talk to him and they're talking about doing the MRIs to make sure he hasn't had any strokes. And you know, my dad's always been the, I got it. I can handle it. When the whole family starts to fall apart, you know, I'm the one that's just going to sit there and I'm going to hold it all up. And you sit back and you watch him and you see him get a little bit weary. But then you sit down at the supper table the other night. They called us up there to eat, so we ate. And they were telling us, you know, this is what they're going to do. This is the plan that they're going to have for this procedure or whatever. And he's sitting over in the chair, half asleep. And Mama's telling us all this stuff, and she's all just terrified. And Daddy goes, I don't know why y'all so worried about all this stuff. It's going to be just fine. He said, God got it all figured out already. And Ashley's over there. Well, what are they going to do if they say you've had a stroke? He said, well, I guess they're going to say I had a stroke. He said, and I reckon I'm going to move on with whatever else is the next thing. Well, what if they put the pacemaker in that loses you? He said, then I guess I'll go find something else to do. Well, you won't have your vacation. You won't have all the money that you make. And those things will go away. And he said, well, I guess God will supply what I do need. He said, thank God the car's paid off and the house is almost paid off. Amen. Perspective, right? Because we could sit back and go, man, how are they going to survive? What's going to happen? You see, Daddy's looking at the good side of things instead of the bad side of things. Why? Because he's given all these cares to God. And he said, here, you just take them. Because I can't handle them. I must tell Jesus to take these things. I must give it to him because I cannot handle it. If we would get in the mindset that we can't handle the problems, that only God can handle the problems, then we'd cast all our cares upon him and just let him have them. He'll help you go through the valley. And it'll be good for you to keep your perspective maybe looking a little more upward instead of just surfacing it. You see, we talk about how we've got something to look forward to, right? How many people got something to look forward to? The rest of y'all need to get saved, okay? Amen. That's just the way that is. We got something to look forward to. We have a place in heaven. We're seated in heavenly places already. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you're there. You're right there. But But yet we get so focused on this down here that this just takes over. And you forget about what you're supposed to be looking forward to. Perspective. I was studying some of this stuff and I was looking at different passages, different things. And take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. Anybody that knows anything about their Bible knows that around Exodus 13 we're talking about Israel being delivered out of Egypt. You've read the stories. You've heard the Bible lessons, and we could preach it a thousand different ways, and we could preach a lot of different sermons out of these different areas, and I'm just going to kind of tiptoe through some chapters right here and just kind of hit some highlight points that I want to hit. But just know you could go a lot of different directions with these verses, okay? I understand that. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 17, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt." You see, God had a plan here, right? God could have led them the closer way and went through the place of the Philistines, but instead he decides to take them the route of the Red Sea, and we know that's where they're going to end up. Now, the journey was a little longer. If you've read anything about your Bible lately, you know that journey's going to take a little bit more time to get to the Red Sea than maybe this direction would have taken. But God also knew that, hey, if I bring them out of Egypt and I put them right back into war, they'll just go back to Egypt. They'll get discouraged and they'll go back to Egypt. Why? Because their perspective was messed up. You could imagine if you come out of Egypt, you've been enslaved for some 430 years. That's what Exodus chapter 12, verse 40 tells us. So they've been here for a long time, right? They've been doing whatever the Egyptians wanted them to do. And you see them sitting here going, okay, now you've been delivered. Now you've been taken out of this place. And God knew if I put them back into war, guess what? They'll never survive that. They'll just turn around and quit. Is that how you are? When God puts you through a trial, do you just say, I quit. No, God, ain't doing it. You see, sometimes you've been in Egypt and you've been in a trial and you've been in the valley. And what ends up happening is when you get out of it, if God says, you got to go back to war, you'd say, forget this. I ain't got time for that. Give up, right? Perspective changes. Turn to 14, chapter 14. Chapter 14 and verse 10. Chapter 14 and verse 10. They're delivered out of there. They're trying to get to the Red Sea. And you read on in verse 10, it says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. The children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." You see, they've gone through this part and they've made it to the Red Sea and they're wondering how we're going to get across. We know that Pharaoh decides to say, I don't really want to let them go. You've read the story, right? You know that Pharaoh's coming after them. He's got chariots and he's got all intentions of bringing them back to where he thought that they belonged, and to put them back under bondage. And now you start seeing the Israelites saying, Won't we be better off over there? They're probably going to try to kill some of us, and they're going to take us back to where we came from anyways. We'd have been better off just to stay where we were at. They start that murmuring and complaining already, right? What about you? Let's bring it back to you now, okay? Is that the way you are? I'm tired. I see a roadblock. Now what are we going to do? There's a sea I've got to cross, and I have no idea how we're going to cross it. It's kind of like looking for a pastor, right? That's your sea, and you've got to cross it, right? What's your perspective? That God's still in control? And He's going to make a way? Or, might as well be done with this. Shut the door. What's the point? We've already done this once before. Right? Perspective. You could get that way. You could be mean and you could say, well, we shouldn't have got the one we got last. Here you are. I mean, he only stayed a year. We did see people saved, though, right? We did see new people come to the church, right? Okay, so God had a plan, right? And then God opens up other doors, right? Why? Because God's always got a plan. I don't always know what they are. You don't always know what they are. All we can do is just do what God wants us to do the next moment in time, right? But when you see the sea and you're sitting there thinking, man, I got to go through this again. Well, God brought you through it once. You should be a little more confident in the fact that He's going to bring you through it again. You say, well, it's hard. Well, everything worth doing is kind of hard, isn't it? Everything I've ever done that was worth doing, it takes a little bit of effort. I was sitting there thinking yesterday, painting was hard. I hate painting. I'm glad I'm not the only one that feels that way. Man, he's painting this stupid castle. This stage. We had to paint the whole back end of the stage and had to paint this castle thing for VBS and all this stuff. And I'm sitting there rolling. I'm thinking, boy, I wish somebody else was here to do this. I need to delegate. But then I got done with it and we stepped back and we looked at what we had accomplished that day. And when you're up there real close to it, everything seems like, well, you're just painting the wall gray, right? You're just painting the castle black. You're just putting gray lines on it. And then you step back and my little son comes running across the gym and he goes, wow! And you go, that's what it's for. That's what it was for. Because that's what I want every kid that comes into VBS to go, wow! Not because I did a good job, because I'm not a good painter. It was an okay job. But because that right there is going to get the gospel message at their level. And I know it. They needed something to catch them. See, stuff gets hard sometimes in life, but you need to see the bigger picture. Sometimes you have to step back and realize, hey, God still had a plan. God had a purpose for that moment in time. God has a purpose for the next moment in time. God will always have a purpose. God will always have a plan. He's always in control, right? But you see, the Israelites are worried about the situation. And then we know the story that God delivers them. They part the Red Sea, right? Moses stretches out that rod and the sea splits and they walk across on dry ground, which I always think is so cool. They didn't even have to walk through the mud. You ever thought about that? They didn't even have to walk through the mud. I would have been happy just to walk through the mud. I'd have been happy if it was a couple inches deep. That would have been better than just nothing. But instead, God said, you know what? I'll split it in half, and it'll be just as dry and crisp and just easy to go across. Why? Because He's that good. Because He's that good. And then you get on into chapter 14 in verse 31, and it says, and Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Boy, you get right here and everybody's just, woo, happy. The Egyptians were coming to get us. We wanted to go back. God split the sea. We walked across on dry ground. Everything's good. We get to the other side. They're coming across. We still think they might kill us. And God brings the water back across and just kills everybody, right? Pharaoh and all of them. And what's cool is they still got particles of chariots in that sea. Look it up. It's cool. When people try to tell you the Bible is not real. Ain't that amazing? You sit back and you see stories like this and you sit there and you go, now they get it. Now they understand. They believe in the Lord. That's what you do, right? Because that's what I do. And y'all can't be much different than me. I know y'all a little more spiritual than me, but, you know, I understand. But what you do is you come through the valley, you come through that sea, and you sit on the other side and you look back and go, man, I really do believe in God. I believe He can control the situation. I know that He's in control. I know that He's going to help us. And I believe in Him, and I know that He can do it. And you're standing on the other side just praising God that He brought you through the trial, that He brought you through this bad time, that He brought you through this struggle, and you're excited about it, and you give God the glory, and you should. And then you move on with life, right? You move on with life. And you get into chapter 15 and verse 23. And it says, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. Verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now, I don't know if you remember, because I just read it. It says in verse 31 of chapter 14, it says, and believe the Lord and His servant Moses. You understand what it just said right here. Like, and we just moved one chapter. Like, this hadn't been some big, massive amount of time here. This is a short amount of time. And as they're walking and they realize they're thirsty, they get to it and they start murmuring and complaining again against Moses, the one that they said they believed, right? The one that they said they believed in just a short time ago, and now they're going up against Him again. You see that Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance. And there he proved them and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and wilt do that which is right in His sight and wilt give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. And you see that they go through this process, and God gives them water to drink, right? And He helps them again, doesn't He? You go on to chapter 16, and verse 1, the Bible says, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt, And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Now, they believed in him, right? They believed in him. Until they got thirsty. And then they murmured and they complained, right? And then God gave them water to drink. Now God's delivered them from Pharaoh. Let's take it back. God delivered them from Egypt. God delivered them from Pharaoh. God delivered them from thirsting to death. And every time they come up against that sea again, every time they come up against a problem, what do? They start complaining again. Verse 3, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. When we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for we have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So we've done it again, right? We've come up against an obstacle in life, and our perspective has changed again. I'd rather die in Egypt, enslaved. Why? Because we're going to die here hungry. God's not going to let us eat. Now, I know he parted the sea because I saw it. And I know that he took that sea and he killed Pharaoh and all the armies. I saw that. And then when we got thirsty because we've been walking a long way and we couldn't drink the water because the water was bitter, I saw where God gave us sweet, clean, good water to drink. I saw it. Now, you know what would be a good thing is if they'd have said, hey, we're hungry. God, boy, you provided all this time. We know you're going to provide, and we know that you know that we're hungry. God, would you just give us some food? I believe God would have just said, here you go. There you go. Thank you. Thank you for asking nicely, right? Thank you for believing in me. But instead, they complained. And they start saying they'd rather die in Egypt. That's what we do. That's how we live life. Every time a bad situation comes up, we complain about it. And God can deliver you out of the bad situation because he's done it before in your life. You know, when you were lost, dying, and going to hell, and he delivered you from hell, and he gave you eternal life. If that one should be enough. That should be where everything should have changed. But unfortunately, you forget about that. Get real. You forgot about that. You sit back and go, thank God he saved my soul, but you ain't thought about it in 10 years. Amen? Well, come on now. That's the way that you live. Because the next trial that comes up in your life, where's God at? He's living within you. He hadn't gone anywhere. He's always been right there. You think he didn't understand you were going to go through this? He knew it before you did. Get this. He allowed it. He allowed it to happen. But then you get this perspective that He doesn't care about you anymore. The bad situation, it doesn't matter. But then what does he do? He delivers you out of that again. And what do? You come before the church and you get on your knees before God and you sit there and you thank Him for everything that He's done in your life and how He's brought you out of this situation, and you get all excited about it and everybody shouts amen with you and praises the Lord with you until the next one happens. And when the next one happens, you go back to the same way you were over here. You know, when God delivers you from cancer the first time, you praised Him, right? You gave Him glory. But if He brought it back, wouldn't you just praise Him anyway? He done delivered you from it one time. But you see, our perspective's off, because you see, you will get deliverance eventually. You see, the deliverance part is not coming out of the situation. It's not even being able to say, well, the cancer went away. Or I got in a wreck and I was delivered out of it. That's not where it is. You see, He's going to deliver you when He takes you home. That's what you're looking forward to, right? Because you see, that's the most important thing. Now, we don't want to go through trials and we don't want to go through hurt and pain. Thing about it is, the end goal is to go to heaven. Most of us are too busy trying to stay here. Most of us are so worried about being right here instead of being like Paul and saying, I got something far better to look forward to. You ain't thought about what's far better. You're just worried about what's going on right here. This is as good as it gets in your mind. You say, no, it doesn't. You really don't get it. You don't really think about it that way. Because if you did, when the bad time came, you'd be a little more apt to say, God's got this. You know, you'd be dead. He's sleeping in the chair. I'll get another job. Well, what if you have a heart attack and it happens again, John? I heard that one. Well, guess what? I reckon I'll have a heart attack. And if God wants to keep me here, He'll keep me here. And if He doesn't, amen, hallelujah. Glory to God, I get to go home. And I got enough life insurance, y'all all going to be happy. It's your perspective. What's yours? You see, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your perspective should be always on the positive. You should always be looking at the positive side of things. Because at this world's worst, you still got heaven to look forward to. At the worst this place has to offer you, you've got something to look forward to. Now, if you're lost and dying and going to hell, I understand. You ain't got anything to look forward to except death and hell. And that grave, that's all you got to look forward to. Nothing. I would be terrified if I was in your place. There is no good perspective for you. None whatsoever. The trials can come, and the cancer can come, and the heartache can come, and the financial difficulties can come, and you can get out of them, and guess what? You're still in a bad place. Because without God, you're always in a bad place. That isn't going to change. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and get that settled first before your perspective can even begin to change. Can even get close to changing. This morning, where is your perspective on life? Do you know God's in control? Do you believe it, or are you just saying it? Because I got a feeling Israel just said a lot of things. And we know the long term of the story. We know that that God's going to take them through this wilderness 40 years, and we know all this stuff, and we know they're finally going to get to come into the promised land. I believe God had to dwindle out a lot of bad in there. Them ones that should have went in, that didn't get to, including Moses. God said, you'll keep murmuring, you can keep complaining. You can walk around in this hot sand for a long time. Because if you did just believe me, we'd already be there. But you didn't, so we're just going to make you just keep on walking. What's your perspective on life? If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, get that settled today. If your perspective isn't where it should be, get right with God. Get right with God now. Start living your life for God. Start living without having all the fear of what's happening tomorrow. And just know that God's in control. Get away from all the fear and all the anxiety that you tote around and just enjoy the things that God has given you today. There's always good in it. Always. You just got to look for it. Miss Tony, you can play.